Okay, welcome to What's That About? My name's Don. I'm joined by my podcast host, Luke.
Nah, it's not going to work. Okay.
You sounded like a
well-to-do English gent.
I did.
I felt like a cup of tea in a scone suddenly.
It was actually, if you wind that back, that was actually a brilliant Prince Charles impersonation. I think we should let's just drop the old person voice and get on with the show, Don.
All right, then.
Hit the theme music. And welcome back to another What's That About, Don. Just a classic summer break off.
You don't like to rush
back into it in the new year.
I have never been more relaxed. I like our summer break. It's getting longer every year.
It is April.
It used to be February. We felt bad about February. Then it went to March. Now we're heading towards the end of April. We're relaxed. We're limbered up. We're ready for some quality pod.
There's a good chance this won't be released until May as well, which it's really mid-year.
That's ridiculous. The ultimate goal is to just, we're basically just going to do Christmas episode, have a large break, and then it's time for the next Christmas episode, which is good.
You know what our problem is? When summer hits, we just get on those boards and ride that endless summer.
I tell you what, the grommets get in the way, though.
In the way.
Those damn grommets.
Always cutting into our way, those goofy footed grommets.
Yeah.
So what? You've surely been up to something of mild interest in the 4 or 5 months we've had off.
Well, look, regular listeners to the pod will know that I've really been struggling for content in these opening interchanges. What have you been up to, Don? Nothing much. And the reason the break was so long is because I've been waiting for something to actually happen to me, and it kind of hasn't. We just had to go. Let's just go ahead with it. It's not going to happen. What happened? I don't know. I actually went to a honey shop recently and bought some delightful creamed honey. That was quite a nice episode.
That is fantastic.
Now, knowing you the way I do, you've been up to some hijinks, I'm sure.
Hang on. Before we get on to me, you have taken up a new hobby. You are the man of 10,000 hobbies. I don't have a single hobby. You've got 10,000.
Yeah.
And every time we catch up on the phone, you've started a new one. last conversation, you're now mountain biking.
Yeah.
Give us something from that. Surely something's happened in that that was mildly amusing.
Nothing really amusing. What could be amusing? I don't know. They're very uncomfortable. Like the bike seats. You know when bike seats back in the 80s, the bike seats were really wide. Like the women's seats had suspension and everything.
Oh,
it was like
so
an
good
armchair on wheels. But
the suspension, the padding was amazing.
That was the best. It was like
I used to love riding mum's bike.
It's like a Dawson chair. You've never seen. It's like they took the seat. Like in Australia, the bus drivers have the best suspension on the seats you've ever seen in your life. They took that, put them on a couple of wheels, and they're off and racing. These ones are very. They're like very hard. They're very. It reminds me of an old stand-up joke I used to have. Do you remember that one? Where I was saying that they're so hard. Oh. They're so pointy. It's kind of like. You're sitting on a HB pencil, like sticky tape to a pole. And then, what was the joke? Do you remember it?
There's got to be a puncture.
Yeah, something about puncturing your testicles. That's the...
Yep.
And then...
Yep. Very nice, very nice.
And then the punchline was something about putting your testicles in a bucket of water to find the leak. I can't remember.
You're just looking for the little bubble.
You're looking for the little bubble to come up. Ah, there it is. Yeah.
There it is. Fantastic.
Yeah.
The modern... Like bike seat though. Is you know when you go to the beach and you see that little white cuttlefish?
Yeah.
That's effectively they've just put a bit of cuttlefish on a pole and spray painted it black. That's the comfort of a bike seat.
Couldn't get less comfortable. But apart from that, solid hobby. It's going well.
Nah, just add it to the pile, throw it on top.
Luke, what have you been up to?
I reckon the other day I had one of the You know, like it's not a bad morning, but it's just, you know, those mornings where every little thing goes wrong.
Yeah.
Hear me out. So I wake up, look in the mirror, pimple right in the middle of the forehead.
Yeah. The forehead?
Not a small one either.
Interesting.
Forehead.
Yeah.
Yeah. Then take the kids to school, get caught in a massive storm. So I am absolutely soaked from head to toe. My clothes are soaked. Didn't have a time to get a jacket because I didn't know it was going to rain. I got to get into work. So I jump on the train soaking.
Oh, so you're in your work clothes?
I'm in my work clothes. Yeah.
Now, here's a question for you. What color was your shirt?
It was a white? Dark blue.
Ah, you're good. Yeah, very good. Because if it was a white shirt, that's a wet t-shirt comp. That's that what's happening. Unless you do you wear a t-shirt underneath your shirt?
No, I don't. That just adds to the bulk. I want to minimize bulk.
Yeah. Yeah, that white shirt would have been a little bit racy for public transport, I would say.
Definitely. Yeah. So I'm on the train, soaking wet, and all of a sudden, someone leans across and says, "Oh, excuse me." "Oh, yeah." And he goes, "Oh, excuse me, you've got a spider on your head." And then I reach up to try and find the spider and I can't find it. So this guy reaches across and tries to catch the spider off the top of my head. But as he does, it runs down the front of my face into my shirt and catches the spider and crushes it in his fingers.
He crushes it?
Crushes the spider in his fingers and then throws it on the ground.
Oh, what a move.
And at that point, I don't know how to feel about it because he saved me from having a spider in my shirt.
Yeah.
But he's also put his hand in my shirt and crushed a spider.
Now, what did he... Once he had finished with the spider, what was his next comment?
I think he just said, "There you go."
There
I
you
think
go. It was,
"There you go."
What a gentleman.
So then I get off the train.
This, honestly, this sounds like the script of a rom-com. I reckon this could be like... This could be... You could be Robert Redford and he could be Annie McDowell.
It is a great opening scene to a love story.
It is.
So I leg it off the train and I actually realize I've actually got a couple of minutes up the sleeve here. I'm going to get a coffee on the way into the office. Go to my usual coffee shop. There's one person in front of me and I'm like, fantastic. Only one person. I hear this guy make his order. He's ordered 9 flat whites.
That hurts.
He's done the office coffee run.
Yeah.
I finally get into the building running later than I would like. Sit down in my office. And a little notification pops up in my calendar. Oh, it's staff photo morning. And everyone has to get an individual photograph for their online profile for the rest of the time in the workplace.
Did you get it done?
I got it done.
What's it look like?
Pimple on the face. Wet clothes. I just look like a drowned sewer rat.
Yeah.
Awful. Get the photo done. About a week later, I get an email saying, "So sorry, but your photograph was blurry. Can we do another one?"
Like, sure.
Reckon it was blurry. Nah. I don't think it was blurry.
They probably blurred it out just trying to cover up that mess, is what they were doing.
Anyway, so that was my morning.
Hey, look, that's hilarious. I love the romantic comedy aspect to it, personally. But
all right, well, let's get on with things. We should do a very quick room with a review because it's been 4 months, so I'm presuming we've got a room chock-a-block with reviews, Don.
Not quite chock-a-block. Just
close to chock-a-block, though.
We've got two. Two new reviews over 4 months. Could be worse.
Could be a lot worse. I'll take two.
All right, so...
Let's open the room.
So, only two reviews today, so this will be short. A bit like Luke on his wedding night. The first one is from Muckamand from the United States of America. Funny and informative. What more could you ask? For two guys who admit to being awkward and unskilled as well as unattractive, they do pretty well. I'm hoping they get into literary reviews in the future as they appear somewhat perceptive. And the second one from Abia by Abby Abby. From the United States of America. I don't know how I made my way to this podcast, but I'm so glad I did. You both are hilarious and the vibes are immaculate. I love the spontaneity of your upload schedule, even though I wish I had a new episode every day. Thank you for brightening my commutes. Back to you in the studio.
Okay, my favourite part of that last one was, I'm hoping they get into literary reviews. They appear somewhat perceptive. That's a backhanded compliment.
Somewhat perceptive. We've almost got to rename the show. Somewhat perceptive.
I reckon. I like how, for me, like even a backhanded compliment, still probably the best compliment I've ever received. It's actually great. Summer
Beggars
perceptive.
Cannot be choosers. I'll absolutely take the back not. End.
I'm taking it and much. I'm calling it Christmas.
Imagine us in a literary review.
We are not coping. What are we going to do in a literary review?
I reckon the entire conversation would be about the font on the front cover. We'll just pick something very obscure to focus on, and that would be the hour.
Yeah. What happened to Times New Roman? We're just talking about Times New Roman, the forgotten font. I used to love Times New Roman.
If you open up a fresh Word document and you're writing a letter or a note of some sort,
yep.
What's your default font?
Oh, Calibri Light, all the way.
Yeah, very nice.
Don't underestimate Calibri Body, though, which is has a bit more body. I don't know.
Body?
It's not quite as light. So it's.
I went through a Garamond phase. You ever toyed with Garamond?
Absolutely not. No. What about Script? You know, when you're like trying to be really classy, you check out some Script. I've never done it since I was about 13, but Script was fancy.
This could just be me, but do you ever, when you're writing something in Word, like I'm the person, I have to kind of rewrite something multiple times for it to not be completely embarrassing.
Mm.
Like, do you ever have that thing where if anyone saw my first crack at this thing, I would be escorted out of the building immediately?
Yeah. Do you ever have that? I do about 13 drafts. It's like when, and I know, I'm pretty sure we've touched on this previously, when you're writing an email to someone, and if it's, you know, it's a bit of a content there, you write the email, or well, this is back in the day, if I was writing an email to maybe someone I was a bit sweet on, back in the olden days, email, you'd read it, you'd send it, then you go back to your sent folder, and then you read it as if you're them reading that email for the first time. Oh, I got an email from Don. Oh, interesting. Click on that. Oh, you still got it.
That is awesome.
Did you ever do that, or is that
just
me? I've
got to confess, I still do it to people. Not if I got a crush on them, but often if I have to write an email that I'm not sure how it's going to land, I will do exactly that. I'll go and go to the sent items and read it from their perspective. Yeah.
Pretend it's the inbox. Oh, I got an email from Luke. Boom, chuck it on. Geez, well written. Bit too much scripts though. That's not necessary. He's gone overboard with the script.
That is fantastic.
I'm glad I'm not alone.
That is so good. All right, we should probably get on with the show. So I actually don't think at any point up until now we've said what the topic of the episode is.
Yeah.
It is longevity, or just how to live as long as possible.
Mm. What's involved in that, yeah.
Well, what's involved in that? What is the whole pursuit of living long about? So, all right, let's cut to the Don's definition team.
Hold on to your stovepipes. It's time for Don's definition.
Okay, so this is from Webster's Dictionary. So the definition of longevity is something that didn't occur on Luke's wedding night. Ew.
He's done it again.
He snuck it in. There we go. Ridiculous. Why do I keep doing these ridiculous wedding night jokes?
You know, I've started doing them in real life. It has never gone down well.
No, of course not. It's rubbish. A wedding night joke. It's like, I feel like Rodney Dangerfield in 1983.
You know when you say something with a heavy dripping of irony like that?
Yeah.
But no one else has picked up on it. You just look like an absolute tool.
Anyone that is listening to this is thinking that I'm a tool. They probably already know that I'm a tool. So it just reestablishes it. Okay,
I can't believe you've gone. You've said the joke, and then you've said, like, he slipped it in, and then you left that one.
Well, you know what? I thought about a joke then, but I thought, no, I'm better than that. So,
so you've got a.
I've got standards.
Sorry, you got standards. All right, hit us with the definition.
Okay, real definition. The word longevity means long life or long life expectancy. It often means someone or something lasting longer than expected. That's it. Yeah, so it's basically living a long time.
And I guess a lot of people are very interested in how, as humans, we can live as long as possible, and particularly live a healthy life as long as possible. And there's, you know, a lot of research going on about how we can do that at the moment. I've, you know, it's a I've heard it called a quiet research revolution, is how it was described in one article I read.
Yeah, it's really interesting, actually, because you look at the predictions of how old or how long we're going to live in the future, and it's really quite fascinating. Okay, so this is US data, but it says the US Census Bureau predicts that life expectancy in the US will be in the mid-80s by 2050. So at the moment, life expectancy is kind of like mid-70s in most places.
In the US, yeah.
If you reach the age of 65, it bumps up to kind of like early to mid-80s is your life expectancy.
Interesting.
Yeah. So, but this says, mid-80s by 2050, and we'll top out eventually in the low 90s. Now, they reckon by the year 2300, we're going to be living around, the average would be 100 to 106 years old and rising.
Interesting.
Now, you have to... Now, the question is there is, yes, we'll be living longer, but the evidence for like quality of life after your 80s is not great. So it's going to be living longer, but I don't know if you'd want to.
You're going to be miserable.
You're going to be absolutely miserable for the last 20 years of your life.
I read that, so from 1990 until today, average life expectancy worldwide has increased 7 years.
Mm.
And of that 7 year average increase, 6.3 of those years are healthy living.
Yeah.
So there's a chance we are going to be able to live healthy for longer, but that is the balance, isn't it? Like the longer you just want to delay the biological clock, you do run risks of not being a healthy old person.
Absolutely. Once you get past your mid-70s, the clock's ticking in terms of quality of living.
Yeah. I read some interesting stuff around, and I'm not sure how credible the source was, but they were saying if you can extend your life expectancy a little bit, you then hang around for new interventions and new ways to extend life. So they were kind of saying it's almost like this compounding effect where they were saying that, you know, within the foreseeable future, people might be living to 150 just because of these compounding small gains that happen with these discoveries over the next, you know, generation or so. But that's clearly not what you were reading.
No, not at all. But who really knows with these predictions? But either yeah, like you can't imagine it being pretty. Yeah. I work in a hospital. I see people in their 90s all the time. Every now and again, you'll have one guy who like goes skiing every winter. He's at like 95. The majority do not go skiing. You know, it's not great.
I did, on those stats you read, though, it's really because the average life expectancy in the US is 77.28, which is actually gone down in the last year or two.
Yeah, right.
Which, when you look at other developed countries, it generally doesn't go backwards. It only goes forwards.
Does it say why it's gone down?
The thing that I read said it was around income inequality, but I don't think that's necessarily changed that dramatically in the last year to explain that. I'm not sure if it was COVID related or I'm not sure.
Mm.
But Australia, where we're from, 83.2. So our life expectancy is 6 years longer than someone born in America, which I found that's quite interesting for two, you know.
Was that for men or women? Or was that just in the middle?
That was just the average.
Yeah, right.
But I did notice, you know, we're massive in Yemen.
Oh, yeah. Big time.
For those who don't know, we were once top of the charts in Yemen. Which category was it? Comedy or
was it comedy?
Overall?
I don't know.
Probably overall.
Probably.
Their life expectancy, 64.65.
Mm.
And I looked at why, their article said, why so low? They said food insecurity, sanitation, lack of access to clean water, and exposure to poor quality audio-based entertainment.
Oh, I thought they were laughing their heads off was the reason they were dying so early.
So I guess it's really, from what I read, you could put it the ways we can try to live as long as possible. I can kind of see it in two buckets. So obviously there's genetics, which I read accounts for about 25% of the variation in lifespan.
Mm, yeah.
But then the two buckets are you can either go about it indirectly by living a lifestyle that reduces the risk of getting a disease, which might kill you, or directly by changing cells, like either rejuvenating cells or replacing cells, almost like a biological effect. And they're the kind of the, within those two buckets, there's lots of things we can talk about, but that's how I was thinking about it.
Yeah. So I read something that basically said, as you said, 25% is genetics, and then the rest is factors of lifestyle and environment.
Yeah. And so it's the obvious boring stuff that reduces your risk for disease that therefore helps you live longer. So eating a healthy diet. Like the Mediterranean diet seems to be associated with a longer life.
What is the Mediterranean diet?
It's really that kind of, it's very heavy on fruit, vegetables, whole grains, nuts, fish, and very low on red meat, processed foods, and sugar.
What about salami? They love salami. Pepperoni? Prosciutto?
I don't know whether, that's a good point though.
Because every single person from the, like with a Mediterranean background, eats a lot of the processed meat.
That's a great point. And they all processed smoke. Meat is up there with cigarettes.
That's a carcinogen.
As like a level one carcinogenic agent.
Bad. Yeah.
By the world. No, apparently it is. It's on the same category as smoking in the World Health Organization.
I know it's a carcinogenic. I don't think, if you look at the stats, it's not as bad as smoking, obviously, but it's not good. It's bad.
No, like definitely not good.
It definitely increases your risk for cancer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I read, you know, when you read a stat and you're like, oh, yeah, I like, you know, like there are convenient stats and inconvenient stats.
Mm.
A convenient stat about eating was I read that a study in 2017 that if you ate only 20% more healthy foods than baseline, you reduce your risk of dying early by 17%.
Yeah, right.
So you just got to eat better one day a week and you're going to live for 17% longer.
Yeah, it's interesting, isn't it?
The other thing that there's a lot of emerging evidence about is intermittent fasting or just reducing calories across the board is generally associated with longevity as well. That's another element of diet.
Yeah. You've tried the 5-2, haven't you?
Yeah, I've had a couple of bouts with the 5-2.
Mm, how'd it go?
I find it's effective, but I just get too grumpy on the 2 days that I'm fasting. By the time it's in the afternoon, I'm a bit of an Oscar the Grouch. Yeah. And I don't have a lot of bandwidth for things not going kind of smoothly.
So if you're just say you're on a 2-day and you're on the back end of it, you're tired, you're cranky, and then just say a spider goes on your head, how are you going to react to that?
What I generally do is I just swallow my emotions and the next day I eat 12 cakes.
Yeah.
That's the
it goes, the 5 days.
The other way, I guess, within this category is reducing drinking. And I always find this fun. Tell me what you think about this. They always say moderate drinking is associated with longevity. So don't be a heavy drinker. But when they have the guidelines, they say moderate drinking is no more than two standard drinks a day.
Mm.
It just feels like a lot still.
Like, it does seem like a lot.
You having two, I guess standard drinks might be 1.5 beers.
Depends on the beer, doesn't it?
Yeah. 1.5 beers every day after work. I would feel that had been a big drinking week.
Yeah.
Is that just me?
Yeah, definitely. You're talking to someone who has, one of my hobbies is brewing beer. So I've got kegs of beer in my house and it's tempting to have more. But yeah.
What else did you find makes a difference?
Okay, so I found a website that would go on and say these are the factors that influence your longevity. So one is your gender. So women just live longer. And I think that could be due to men doing just riskier behavior during their lifetime than women.
Mountain biking, for example.
Mountain biking. Genetics, so 25%, as we've talked about. Childhood conditions, as we're talking about things. Now, I didn't actually read this, but there is another stat, and this is probably more specific to the past. But back in the olden days, you know, like there was a lot of stillbirths and like kids died a lot more than they do these days. So once you get past certain ages, your life expectancy does go up quite a bit. Education, high education levels are linked with higher socioeconomic status, and both are linked to improved longevity. Next one's, once again, socioeconomic status. Marital status. Married people, yourself, have lower mortality rates than those who were never married, divorced, or widowed. Ethnicity and migrant status. And then lifestyle. So this is that nearly 5% of adults are considered extremely obese, compared with only 1% in 1962.
Jeez.
30% are considered obese, compared with about 13% in 1962. And nearly 70% of adults are overweight today, compared to 46% in 1962. I don't know what the hell happened in 1962, but I don't know why that's a big... they happened to find the one study that looked at it in 1962.
I reckon that's the point at which they changed the bike seats from comfortable to uncomfortable. Sorry, I just... No, that would only work if it was the other way around. Hang on. People just started sitting a lot more, sorry.
Yes.
Take that back. Edit that out. I love your reaction of, what are you even talking about?
It took me a minute. The cogs were turning. I caught up there in the end. It was a good callback.
Just got it the wrong way around.
Yeah.
On that one about the obesity, and I guess that's very linked to physical activity, and a lot of the stuff around what can you do was around be physically active. They reckon that inactivity causes roughly 10% of all premature deaths from chronic disease.
Mm.
But if you move for 30 minutes a day instead of being sedentary, you reduce your risk of early death by 17% just by moving for 30 minutes a day.
And so what is that? Because I've got a job where there's a bit of walking involved and I'll often get my 10,000 steps and all that stuff. But it's not 30 minutes in a row. It's just kind of built up over the day. Would that count? I'm not sure why I'm asking you, but I'll ask you anyway.
I think that goes a long way because I reckon the 10,000 steps is just the indicator of are you, that's a cutoff from being sedentary versus not sedentary.
Yeah.
And if you can obviously supplement that with something that's a bit more active, that's extra helpful. But I think the 10,000 steps is helpful.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm taking it.
Did you look into any of the stuff at the cellular level?
No.
There's stuff around like how, one of the lamest things that a lot of the researchers seem to say in this field is aging is really inflammaging, which is just that inflammation is one of the main things that ages your body. And that you can do certain things to like improve your immune system by taking certain vitamins, or you can take certain drugs that try to reduce inflammation at that cellular level, or you can rejuvenate cells by taking certain drugs. So there's a whole bunch of stuff they're looking at that level to try and slow down or halt the aging process, which it's getting into scary territory.
Yeah. I still, after reading all this, I'm really just thinking about, do you want to extend your life that much? Like if the average is, what was it, 80s? Early 80s?
83 for us in Australia.
That's pretty good. Like,
that's a good run.
Would you rather just do what you're doing, have a good life, have a good time, and die then rather than stretching it out towards the back end when there's no real benefit?
Yeah. There's a certain philosophical school of thought that talks, I can't remember what term they use. I think it's called categorical desires is what they call it. And their position,
I think,
is,
that was actually, that was from your search history.
They're saying that the human lifespan as it stands, there's like certain personal projects that you complete throughout your life, like getting a career, raising children, you know, having, you know, all those kind of things that you have to do in life or that you might do in life.
Yeah.
And then when you get to this certain age, like in your 80s, you've kind of run out of personal projects.
Yeah.
And their theory was, if you're living until 120, you're going to be bored out of your mind. Like it doesn't, we don't really have anything else to do.
Jubes. You could have a few jubes. The amount of jubes you could put away between 80 and 120. Oh, mate, Pascal would be loving it.
What is the age for you that you're like, okay, if I make it to this age, like if I said to you right now, I can guarantee you'll make it to this age, but no further.
Yep.
Versus letting nature take its course.
I would choose.
What's your number?
Well, the one thing that I really want is for my kids to, I want to see them become adults. That's what I want. So there's two ages. One, I definitely want to live till my kids are sort of adults and I'm kind of like, okay, the job's done. I wouldn't want to die when they're kids. Second, 77.
You know the funny thing about that is? What? That is so close to what my answer was going to be.
Really?
I was going to say, I want to be here until my kids are adults. So like somewhere between 18 to 25 is like that first benchmark.
Mm.
And then my number was 75, which
75
is bloody close to yours.
Yeah, like our mum is 75. And
she's had a great run.
You've just given her a death sentence, basically. yeah, I reckon, 70. If I'm in my, you know when you think about when people die and you go like, well, like eventually, well, they get, when you get past a certain age and then the reaction is less sad after a while. It's kind of like, it's not bad. They did all right. I can get into his late 70s. No one's really that shocked.
I always wonder, because I... You know, someone, just say someone dies, he's like 98.
Mm.
And there's like... This is a ridiculous thing to say, but like the sadness that person has left your world, absolutely.
Mm.
But do you ever see someone who's really, really kind of just too strong of a reaction for a 98-year-old dying?
Can't say that.
I'm just joking. Can't say
that. That is risky. That is risky.
You can't use that, but no,
it's going in. It's good. It's like, that's your great-great-grandmother.
That's three greats.
That's too many greats. You don't care that much about them.
Look, you're bloody devastated. Yeah. She's 105.
The writing was on the wall. You didn't see it coming? What?
You cannot be shocked. You cannot be shocked.
I did find one study. They looked at people over 105 years old and they tried to find similarities in terms of their lifestyle, or basically if they could find any similarities in terms of getting an idea of living longer, and they didn't. So there's no similarities. It says the only similarities they found were that many were non-smokers, not all of them, but many. They do not have obesity is one, so that's a big factor, and they cope well with stress. So I don't know how they measured that, but right. You and I, we're not living to 105. We are absolutely stuffed.
We won't make it to the end of this podcast.
Nah. Well, it's stressful. I'm stressed.
You know, the other study I read that was kind of a bit interesting in that respect as well was, have you heard of the Harvard study, which is like an 80-year longitudinal study on happiness where they followed like 600 and something men for 80 years and they interviewed them every 2 years and got all their biomarkers and interviewed their family and got their career kind of performance reviews. It was incredibly comprehensive for 80 years. And they found that the strongest predictor of how long someone lived was the quality of their relationships. And that was a stronger predictor than their physical health.
Their relationships is in their significant other or their friends?
There was a particularly strong around their significant other, but it also applied to if you were someone that had effectively high quality relationships that met your social needs, you lived a lot longer than someone who wasn't in that position.
Hmm.
Very strong finding.
Interesting.
One last fact here.
Mm.
It's my favorite fact of the whole research I did. They interviewed a whole bunch of people who were over 115 years old about...
That would have been a fun interview. Imagine the responses. Like, I don't understand what he's saying.
So I should reframe that. They interviewed a whole bunch of people who claim, not a whole bunch, probably not many of them. Yeah. They probably had a couple of conversations with people who claimed they were over 115 years old. And they concluded that 98% of them were lying.
That was the study.
They reckon that they were having what they call the seniors moment, and they'd actually forgotten how old they were, and they were just making the numbers up.
Good grief.
98%.
Someone funded that study as well.
Do you have anything else on aging?
No, that's about it.
No, I think that was more than enough on aging.
Yep.
You know, by the end of it, you're like, I'm boring myself. I don't know how others are feeling about this.
My quality of life is pretty low at the moment. I feel bad for the listeners.
Right, let's do a very quick social etiquette segment, and then we'll wrap things up.
If you've got a social problem that makes you want to run and hide, then we recommend you listen to Luke and Dawn's Etiquette Guide. Luke and Dawn's Etiquette Guide, if you want.
All right, Dawn, this is a very, very quick one. Okay, so it's your birthday. You don't have the day off.
Yeah.
You're going to work.
Mm.
When you get to work, if people don't know it's your birthday,
mm-hmm.
as a middle-aged man, do you tell them?
Well, first of all, I take off my birthday badge and I put it in my bag. second of all, do I tell them? No, well, I didn't tell them. So I had this happen to me a few years ago. I turned up, I worked, I didn't tell anyone, and then for some reason it came up. And everyone thought I was weird.
How did it come up?
I actually can't remember how. I think it was like I don't know, but something happened and I said, oh, it's actually my birthday today. And the reaction was, you're a real weirdo for keeping that to yourself. And then I said, well, what am I supposed to do? Hey, everyone, it's my birthday. You just seem like an idiot. But they essentially thought I was a weirdo for not saying.
That is the dilemma in a nutshell. Mm. Option A is come in as a 40-something-year-old man and say, oh, I'm not sure if you're aware, but I'm actually the birthday boy.
Yeah.
Or option B, be some kind of a psychopath that has walked around the whole day pretending it's not his birthday when it is.
Now, if it's your birthday and you choose not to tell people and they find out afterwards, they must think you're clinically depressed. I reckon they're gonna make a conclusion about that. It's like, what a dour man.
There is no way to handle that situation.
Yeah.
That is not bad.
It's true. I don't know. Have you actually done it? Because usually I'll actually try and take my birthday off. My birthday is 3 days before Christmas, so it's very easy to take it off.
Yeah, good. I genuinely try to take it off. Mm. Or I've worked in workplaces where there must be some mechanism where HR has an automated thing that goes out to your manager that lets them know. There's been a few occasions where I have had to work and people didn't know it was my birthday and I just rocked up and did the day.
Mm.
And I didn't tell anyone. But there's a part of you that spends the whole day, just the day feels different.
You know why? Because you're sitting there going, I've got a secret. Like, it's kind of like you wouldn't believe if I told you. Am I wrong? I'm right.
Oh, that hurts. Oh. That is absolutely spot on. Oh man, that was amazing.
That was a solid chuckle. Anyway. Oh, that hurts. Killing me.
It's really hit the spot. You wouldn't believe if I told you. Oh my goodness. That really hurts. My abs are killing me. Oh. I need to call the doctor. Absolutely amazing. You've absolutely nailed it. That's exactly what it's like.
Oh my goodness.
Oh, sorry about that. That really nailed it. Oh well,
anyway, I think we've covered that. That social etiquette segment.
All right, Doc, we better wrap this up. I'm about to die.
All right, send an email. What's that about? At outlook.com. Or leave a review. The cupboard's bare now, or the room's bare. We need some reviews.
Let's fill it up. Come on.
Yeah. Do us a solid. We'd appreciate it. Anyway, I'm going to say we'll see you next. Let's be honest. It's probably, I'm hoping for 3 weeks. Could be 3 months. Who the hell knows at this point?
We do tend to get a roll on at this point. Once we start once, it's like when you haven't run for ages. You do one run, then you're likely to do another. Like, then you'll do another. Like, momentum's building. We should
it
be
does.
Right.
What actually builds momentum a lot is getting a review and getting acknowledgement that people are actually listening. It helps. It actually does help.
It does.
Sad but true. Great. Okay. Well, thanks, guys. We'll see you next episode, whenever that may be.
Hey, catch you later.
All right. Love you. Bye.